Psalm 18. We're going to look at two places in Psalms here. One is in Psalm 18, and this is in verse number 18. Psalm 18, 18. And if you want to find the other place, it'll be in Psalm 133. So we got Psalm 18, verse 18, and Psalm 133. As we look in the Word of God, starting in Psalm 18, verse 18, the Bible says, "They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay." The Lord was my stay. As we look at the Lord being our stay, we saw that there have been different types of faith in the Bible. The one of saving faith we saw in Acts 16:31. Then we saw slaying faith in 1 Samuel 17. We saw surrendering faith in Philippians chapter 2. But in Psalm 18, verse 18, and over in Psalm 133, we're going to learn about something new about God. Staying faith. Staying faith. If you look over at Psalm 133, the Bible says in Psalm 133, verses 1 through 3, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. As the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mounts of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." As we look at staying faith today, I want us to see God's handpicked methods to develop staying faith in a Christian. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we do love you. God, we thank you, Lord, for the time to be in the house of God. We pray, Lord God, that you'll move and touch our hearts and lives and help us, Lord God, to have staying faith, Lord God, that will keep us in a place. And Lord, I pray, God, that long before we ever get to a point where we somehow do not know what to do, that we'll just depend on you to keep staying and be our stay for us. And Lord, we love you. We pray, God, you'd help me preach now, according to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, that you'd help me to preach the word, to be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and doctrine. I pray, God, you'd help us to learn from the Bible today as the Holy Spirit teaches us, according to Psalm 119, verse 18, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. We look in the Word of God, and we're looking for the methods, this God's handpicked method to help us have staying faith. We live in a day and age, and I was speaking with somebody about this earlier this week and even up to last night, how things have changed in this country. Nobody stays anywhere anymore. The norm is not having a mother and a father and a child and having the what they call the nuclear family. What we have now is we have many perversions of that thing, and if we have it even partly assembled together. And it's all because people don't know how to do one thing, stay. I'm not talking about the heathens, and I'm not talking about the people in the middle of the jungle that ain't never seen God. I'm talking about us. We have not learned how to stay anywhere in our lives. We look for the best deal, and we try to run after it at the expense of cutting off our local businesses and things like that. Hey, listen, you save 5 cents if you want to, but I'd help out the local business. Because I want to say this, I've never had the corporate business go out and help me get my kids seizure medicine after they close, 3 hours after they close and come to my house and do it, but I have had local business owners do that. I've never had a corporate people come along and say, "You know what, I know this is expensive, can we tell you how to fix this?" No, but I've had that local business say, here's how to fix this. You see what I'm saying? And we have no loyalty, and we teach no loyalty, and we have no loyalty because we do not know how to stay somewhere. This county where we live, and I don't know how it is everywhere else, but where we live at here, we are full of the next big thing. You let a crowd find out there's a new preacher over here, such and such. They're going to fill that thing up, and they're going to all get in there, and that guy's going to claim he's having revival, and they's going to be, listen, new buildings talked about, the new gym and all this, until the wolf cometh, and then that hireling will flee, and the sheep get scattered, and the next big thing comes up, and all them leave there, and they go over here with the next big thing, and we talk about new buildings and gyms, and boy, we got the gang back together, and this, that, and the other. Then that hireling flee.
Well,
they don't stay nowhere.
Right.
You know why the guy leaves and sees the wolf coming? He's a hireling. Jesus told on him.
Yep.
And we see church members doing that, running from one place to another. You know the Bible tells us in the church epistles not to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. There's some people, listen, you get them in there and they say, listen, I'm not a denominational person. And then they go join up with the church as a denomination. They say, I have denominational loyalty, so they make them mad. Then they go over here. They say, I believe you can never lose your salvation. I'm part of this crowd. Then they find out they think they can, so they go over here to another crowd and say, I think I can. And they go over here to another crowd a little bit later and says, you know what? I'm following John Calvin. Now, I don't think I can lose anything. It's never a choice for me to lose. And then they go over here and they say, well, you know, I'm following Joseph Arminius now and all this other stuff. And they never follow Jesus.
Yeah.
I've seen people get tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine so much it's scary. But I say this, it's all because they have no staying faith.
Right.
You find somebody that stayed the course for a number of years, you found something rare. If you stayed the course for a number of years, you found somebody that's rare.
Right.
You are like that rare gem they've been digging for over in the middle of nowhere, because that's usually where you find somebody like that's in the middle of nowhere.
Right.
But these hand-picked methods that God have, I'm going to show you by way of application out of Psalm 133. Number one method to get staying faith is discipleship. Discipleship. He said in verse 1, he said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For brethren to dwell together in unity. I think the reason some people don't have stay in faith, they don't have the one, the Lord being their stay. They don't have Him.
Right.
But a lot of times, that's not the case. A lot of times, the saved people's bouncing around like this because they've never been discipled in one place. They've never learned anything.
No.
I see that when we look at discipleship, who we learn helps build unity amongst people. Jesus said, learn of me, talking about himself. The more we learn of him, we found out this. We look in the scriptures, we watch him walk on this earth in ministry 3.5 years, 30 years prior to that in the perfect will of God, 3.5 years in the perfect will of God, and he never makes a step without praying about where he's going. He's God and manifest in the flesh and knew what was going to happen on the next step, but yet he prayed before he took it. How much more should you and I learn of him and learn how he prayed and learn before he made any decision he prayed and found out and in some cases prayed all night just to find out what the will of God was so he could do the will of God according to the perfect will of God and he could stay right there in the center of God's will. How pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. How do you bring unity about? You bring unity about by discipleship, and discipleship is who you learn of. When we bring new converts in, when we see somebody get saved, and we say we're glad they're saved, we want to take them through a course of some kind or another and teach them the Word of God and teach them how to follow Christ and how to learn of Him because He's the only one that matters. He's the only one that's going to make a difference in the long run. And what you learn of Him, when you learn of Him, who we love will help us build unity as well. And when we talk about who we love, Jesus said this. He said, love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, and mind. We need to learn how to love Him. There was a guy who told me the other day, said, I can't stand going to these churches where all they preach is love. I can understand that because they're not talking about loving the right one. You say, why are they preaching all that? Because that's the meanest, most hateful people in the world, and God's given that preacher a message telling them they need to start loving everybody.
Come on.
Hello, liberals, I'm talking to you.
Yeah,
I see that a lot of people come on and say, well, it's more important to love than this, that, and other. No, it's more important to love Him.
Right.
You get things right this way, they'll get right this way. I've never had a problem with anybody as long as my heart, mind, and soul is right with God and I'm loving on Him.
Mm-hmm.
Even the ugliest, meanest people I've ever seen in my life, I love them when I got my heart right with Him, my soul right with Him, my mind right with Him. See, a lot of people have never figured this thing out, but to dwell together in unity, it's not when you drop everything, but it's when you love Him and when you see how He lives and you follow after Him. Who we listen to helps build unity. If you're listening to a book, a book, not this book, but a book or a set of books, you'll be in unity with whoever else reads those set of writings. And if you're in love with an ideology or a philosophy, you'll only love those that have that same ideology and philosophy. If you love a certain program, you will only love those who love that program. But listen to this. If you listen to those books, listen to this book, and listen to this philosophy over here, an ideology, scrap all that and learn to listen to Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So how do I hear Him? I don't know. What about you? There must be some way, because He said this: my sheep hear my voice. And when we go to the Scripture, we find out it's full of His voice. Instead of chasing some spirit to speak into our heads, which might be us sometimes, and it could be the devil, you just never know, but we can verify when He speaks because it lines up perfectly with His perfect book.
Right.
And when it lines up perfectly with His perfect book, and the Word of God says what it says, and we see God showing us the things of God, and we have His voice, and we know His voice, and we take that in, and we say, you know what? We see what God's saying because we have the written contract on it. You and I are in the part of a lifestyle in which we no longer know how to listen. What we're doing is we're waiting for you to pause in your words so we can tell you what we're already going to say. We need to learn how to listen and learn how to reason and think about things instead of trying to get our opinion out there every time. We need to go back and listen to the Lord and find out this. There's sometimes when we listen, it'll help build unity amongst people, because if you hear what they really say versus what you think they said, you'll find out sometimes them things are different. Case in point, I noticed a lot of times people have some kind of imagination where you can say one thing and they pick out two or three words and hear something completely different. We need to start listening instead of trying to shove our opinion out there all the time. May I also say this, we can do it. It can happen if we learn to listen to Jesus and start listening to His voice. He'll command us on how to take things in, how to apply things. Do you know, listen, for whatever reason, I found that I went through the frozen section in the grocery store one day, and everything in there has directions on it. It either says cook it in the oven at 350 degrees or in the microwave for 3 minutes. Now, that's just about an oddity to me that everything's 3 minutes or 350 degrees. I don't understand how everything, if it's this big or this big, is going to have the same cooking schedule. But I know this, the ones I pick up all say the same thing. But if there's one out there that's different, I'm okay with that. But I know this, my opinion on how to do that thing really don't matter, does it? Because I can pick it up, set up, man, that's hard as a rock. It'll take 2 days to get that thing done. Put it in the microwave, set up 2 days and walk off. Wonder what'll happen. Or even better, we need to thaw it out before we put it in the microwave. Because see, I'm old school 70s refrigerator and all that. I'm thinking, if it's in the refrigerator, you've got to thaw it out before you cook it. And you know what? That ain't how you do that. And my opinion on how that thing should be handled really don't matter, but the truth of the matter is I need to follow the directions and learn who to listen to. Hey, do you know I've had people tell me, well, you ever heard of that microwave popcorn? Well, who hadn't heard of microwave popcorn? How many of y'all ever heard of Jiffy Pop where you put it on the stove and that thing would blow up and all that stuff like that? Yeah, that's years ago. All right, but listen to this. That microwaves are so advanced now, they have a popcorn button now.
Yeah.
You know what I do with it? I take that thing out of the plastic, just like it says do. I lay it on the side it is, put it in there, hit the popcorn button, and never think of it. Just wait on it to get done. I can multitask. I can cook popcorn and look at Facebook or read or whatever I want to do while I'm standing there. I don't know how long it takes, but I know when it's done. You know how I know? That thing beeps and says, your food is ready. I had somebody tell me one time, now, when you take this home, you want to put it in your microwave and just heat it to such and such, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, and reheat it. I don't do that. You know why? I read my microwave instructions. There's a button on there. You know what it says? Reheat. You know what I do? I reheat the thing that way. You know, out of 10, the first 10 tries is 100%. It got every one of them the way I liked it. It didn't matter how I felt about it. It didn't matter what you said to do with it. All I know is the instructions said do it this way, and it worked out. It helps who you listen to, and that will help you bring unity in life.
Yep.
A lot of times people have never understood this whole unity thing because they listen to so many people. We need to start listening to the Lord. My sheep hear my voice. You want unity? Have discipleship. That'll bring together everybody following one Lord.
Amen.
Second method of having staying faith. If you look at it, verse number 2 there. He says in verse 2, he says, it is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garments. He's talking about that dwelling in unity. If our first method of staying faith is discipleship, our second method is going to be devotion to one master. We learn to follow him and we learn devotion. Let me say it like this. He said it's like the precious ointment upon the head. That devotion spoken of right there is like when he goes up to him and what Moses is doing in that thing to Aaron is he's taking that oil and pouring it over Aaron's head, anointing him as the high priest. And you and I, we follow the high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're kings and priests and so forth. But I see when he starts to pour that oil over his head, that oil is a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Before you can ever do work for God, you've got to be personally anointed by God to do that work. And listen, when we come to him and he saves us and he gives us staying faith, he gives us anointing right there on the spot. The day you get saved, you got saving faith, you got slaying faith, you got all that thing, surrendering faith, and then you get that thing there about staying faith, and he pours that thing over, and the oil is the type of the Holy Ghost. God does not want any work done without there being his anointing on that work.
Right.
Secondly, that anointing is a type of salvation. The oil is a type of the Holy Spirit. He said it's like the precious ointment upon the head. He said that ran down upon the beard. The fact that there's enough oil to run down his beard shows that not only is that he's anointed by the Master, but he's assured by the Master. Can I point something out to you? Before it ever got on his beard, it covered his eyes. He could see what God was doing. And when you're anointed by the Master and you start having devotion time with him every day, you spend your time in prayer and the Word of God with him, before long you're going to look in the Bible, you're going to see it. Before long you're going to look in your life and see the Bible where God's working in your life, and you'll see what great things he hath done and what he's going to do. Not only anointed by the Master and assured by the Master, but he says in that verse, even Aaron's beard that went down the skirts of his garments. When they started pouring that oil on him, it ran down his face, down his beard, and ran all the way down to the floor. That shows us it's applied by the Master. And the reason I say it's applied by the Master is only someone that owned that much oil could provide that much, because that wasn't cheap stuff. And when God comes along, he don't give you the second best. He don't give you what he thinks you can handle. He gives you the best and pours it all over you.
Right.
And I see being that the anointing and the assurance is applied by the Master, I say, thank God we can be devoted to him, because he'll always take care of his own. David said, I've never seen his seed begging bread. I'm gonna let you in on something. In the Hebrew, that thing says, I've never seen his seed selling donuts. I've never seen his seed having car washes. He said, I've seen his seed saying, my God shall supply, but I've never seen his seed over here begging like that before.
Come on.
Listen, if you want to get into the gist of the thing, God called the people to finance the outfit and do it for the work of God and not to sell stuff for it. He said, give it and God will take care of you.
Amen.
So how do you know that? Because I've been assured by the Master. He's got enough oil to pour over a man's head right there to do that. He's got enough oil to keep it in your car.
Yeah.
He's got enough oil that he's going to do that thing right there. We don't need to be farming oil down South America. We need to farm it out of America.
Right.
We need to do the thing here. Why? Because God's got enough. Do you know why that bunch is so scared about why they're not wanting to drill oil here? It has nothing to do with the environment. They think that one day the oil in the Middle East is going to run out. And when it does, then we'll be the guys wearing the towels on our heads and having the billions of dollars. That's what they think. I got news for them. That oil's never running out. And before you let me say, well, no, there's only so many dinosaurs. Do you know who put that oil there? Do you know who made sure there's enough oil there? The one that hangs the sun and the moon every day.
That's right.
He's got it taken care of.
Yeah.
And as you watch the sun come up, know this, it ain't burnt out.
Yeah.
And it ain't going to burn out.
Come on.
Well, scientists, I don't care what they said. I know this. He put the thing there. It'll stay there as long as he says.
Right. Yep.
Somehow or another, that moon don't get too close and it don't get too far away. It always is just the right thing to make the waves do what they need to do. He can take care of that. He can take care of all this other stuff.
Right.
And by the way, before there was ever oil to run a car, he provided plenty of horses and mules and everything else to travel on.
Right.
And camels.
Yeah.
Just think about this. If we get all the oil over here, we can quit driving cars and ride camels too. Think about it.
Well.
Hey, listen. I'm looking at the Word of God here, and I see that we need to have devotion in verse 2, that that's a method of bringing stay in faith. And he said up there in verse 1, behold, how pleasant it is to dwell in unity. And we find out discipleship's a thing. But look down in verse number 3. The Bible says, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. I see dew show up there, and dew is made out of something called water. Those of you that have never really seen a whole lot of dew, just get up one morning, it's always there. Every day. So I wake up, sometimes it's frost. Where do you think that came from? The dew froze. It's always there. And in our Bibles, in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 2, the first time the word doctrine shows up, it says, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. If we're going to see stay in faith, the method God uses to bring it's going to be doctrine. He's going to teach you some things. The word doctrine literally means a teaching. We've got the Lord, and we have discipleship following Him. We have private devotions and prayer where we follow Him and listen to Him. And then He teaches us things. And that dew, every day when you wake up, that dew always forms.
Yeah.
And that's what doctrine does. Doctrine forms anybody.
Yeah.
You are what you are today because somebody taught you and you listen to somebody teach you to be the way you are.
Right.
There's certain places of business that if you work in a certain place and come do business with them, they know you're going to ask for the facts before you get there. They know they, like a car dealer knows, if certain people come in there from a certain plant, they've been taught and they've been schooled over there in meetings that before you ever buy this thing, get this right, get this information, get this. And those car dealers know we either have that together, they'll find it somewhere else. So they've been taught because they've been taught and both of them have been taught something. Now they bring that thing together to do something. You and I've been taught. We've been taught this. We've been taught that. And we bring our teaching to the table. But when we come to the Lord, we look at the Bible and we don't say, I want to find out what I believe in here. No, we come here to find out what to believe. There's a lot of people over the years that said, well, I've always believed such and such. And they'll hunt the Bible down and they find something that seemingly says what they want it to say. That's a private interpretation of Scripture, and that's not how we do it. We go to the Scripture to see what the Bible says. We see who's talking, who they're talking to, what the circumstances of the writer, all that, to find out one thing. We want to find out to be taught right by God Himself.
Right.
Now notice this thing here. He says, behold, how pleasant is for brethren dwell in unity. Well, a lot of this unity crowd today says, if you drop the walls of doctrine, we'll all just come together. I got news for you. Dropping the walls of the doctrine, that's teaching.
Sorry.
It's just a different form of legalism that you come out of bondage of.
Yeah.
Instead of being bound by the legalistic cult that they talk about all the time that don't exist, by a straw man that don't exist, you follow their straw man, their legalism. But if you want to bring it together, you got to take that dew over there in verse 3 and cross-reference it in the Bible and find out God's doctrine drops as the dew. And He does that thing for a reason. He wants you and I to be formed by that doctrine. You and I, we come to the Bible, we take in this stuff and we study it, we hear it preached, we hear it taught in Sunday school, we come together with it and we say one thing. We need to follow the Lord and form ourselves of this and let it form us rather than us trying to make a Bible that believes what we believe.
Right.
Do you know that that most cults, they, you know why they rewrite the Bible? Because they can't make this one say what they wanted to say. So they got to come up with another set of writings by another prophet or another seer or something like that, because they couldn't get this book to quite do what they wanted it to do.
Right.
But we find this out. If we're going to have something, we're going to have something, we're going to have to stay put. We're going to have some of that dew from the Word of God that forms us and have it form us where we need to be at. And listen, that water in the Bible is a type of two things. It's a type, listen, still water in the Bible is always a type of the Scripture. When we see, He said, He leads me beside the still water in the 23rd Psalm, He's talking about the Bible, and God always leads His people to the Bible. And the reason being, Jesus said, they shall never thirst. Why? We're right here beside the still water. We can drink anytime we want.
Right.
He said, my people, He said, just call my name. Hey, listen, my sheep hear my voice. What are they doing? He says, take a drink of the still water. That's what that always is in the Bible. Still water. And if I've ever seen still water in my life, it's due. Scripture's out there. But secondly, this, I see when there's running or moving water, that's a type of the Holy Ghost. And as I look in that verse, it says there, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, before that dew was ever staying still, it was coming down. Listen, before you picked up your Bible, before it's ever printed, before it's ever translated or wrote down the first time, it was coming down from heaven, because the Bible says these words are settled forever in heaven. When we take doctrine and we start following the Lord and we say, you know what? I'm going to believe God. I'm not going to run across and run a church across town. You know why? Because if we believe just like they believe, I'm staying here. I find it so odd that people can't get along and dwell together in unity, but it's never over doctrinal things.
Yeah.
I've never heard somebody come to this church and say, you know what, I left my former church because they started hitting each other on top of the head or something, or they started fighting in the sanctuary, or the preacher took off his coat or some odd sin like that. Never heard that before. But I've heard all get mad over this. Well, they said something I didn't like.
Yeah.
I wouldn't turn on TV if I was like that.
Well,
you know why? Even Fred Flintstone's going to say something you don't like.
Well,
even your favorite show is going to kill off the most dear, beloved characters that you have. And what are you going to do then?
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I heard something I'm going to pass along to you. Somebody that watches The Walking Dead posted this, and Lord have mercy, they said, we're going to quit watching for the violence. You're about 7 years too late.
Yeah.
Are you that... Oh, never mind.
Come on.
Dwell together in unity. That means you stay put. I've had people tell me I'm going to quit. I said, don't quit. Why? You where God wants, you to be.
Right.
Don't run out from under the will of God. See, there's a lot of times, and you mark this down, we get more done for God here because of the crowd we have, and I turn away a lot because I don't want that mess in here because they mad at some preacher because he hurt their feelings.
Well,
this book, and the doctrine of this book says to dwell together in unity. How are we going to do that? By doctrine. Here's a plain thing in the Bible. If you've got a problem with somebody, go to them.
Right.
If I don't like you, or I don't like you, or you, or you, or you, or you, or you, any of them, I need to come to you and tell you about it.
Right.
If you make me mad, I do one of two things. Either back up and realize that was stupid of me to get mad, but if there's something real about it, I need to come to you about it.
Right.
The Bible says for me to tell you about it, not to go tell vague you book or whatever, you know, put some people just blah, blah, blah. No, I need to come to you about it.
Right.
Let me translate that for you. Grow up and be a big Christian.
Right, yeah.
And listen, when I go, and if you come to me and say you mad, and I'm just waiting on you to get through talking so I can tell you off, that ain't listening.
Right.
I need to wait and hear what you got to say. I learned something, and it took me years to learn this. I hope you can get this today. Everything that's said about you, check it out and see if it's true.
Well,
everything. You know what I've been accused of? I've been accused of everything but being a short, fat, bald white man. You name it, I sat in a store down there in Drakeville on 105, walked in the door to put preaching tapes in that thing over there, and there's a guy picks up one tape and says, I heard this fella, I heard he said such as, he did this, he did that. And I was sitting there thinking, man, I got six of these tapes right here, do I need to take them back? Guy looked around and said, you collect them tapes? I said, Yeah? He said, you know about this guy? I said, uh-uh. We're not friends or nothing. He said, he makes me mad. I said, good. He said, why is that good? I said, somebody needs to make you mad so you go find out whether it says right or not. And I got to thinking, I walked out there, I thought, do I really make people that mad? And am I doing it on purpose? Or is it the Bible making them mad? I had somebody tell me one time they visited our church and they didn't like it because I was so loud. I know. I can't believe it either. I got to thinking, am I that loud? And I got to listen back to a tape and I thought, dear God, how do they stand to listen to me anyway? Much less whether it's too loud or not too loud. I can only take so much of that. And then I sit there and see, you know, is it true? Because, you know, they might be a cruel messenger, but they may be a cruel messenger come because I wouldn't listen to God about it. But I promise you this, 90% of things I got right in my life here in the last few years, I got them right because I took what they said and found out whether they're right or not.
Right.
Now, if they're wrong and they just bumping their gums or like the gossip, that's fine. Let them do it. They're going to do it anyway. But as long as we see this thing and we say, you know what? That still water comes along. We take a drink of the still water. We never thirst. If something comes along and it doesn't seem right, we check it out by the doctrine. We want to find out whether or not God's in the thing or not. Hey, let me ask you something. Is this your last service here today? Is this your last day in church, wherever you at? Is this the last time you're going to open the Bible? Is this the last you quitting on God today? Won't you let God help you with some staying faith?
Amen.
Jesus told us in John chapter 10, the hireling fleeth when you see that wolf comes. You know why? He ain't there to care for the sheep. He's there to get that paycheck. There's a fella used to pastor church over here about 20-something years over here on Corinth Road, off Corinth Road in there. He said this to a fella the other day. He said, you know what? You take away that paycheck, you'd find out how quickly these preachers would drop out of town. You'd see them feeling led to go here, led to go there. But you know what happens a lot of times? People don't understand this. But somehow, God still has a man.
Yep.
And he's not there to care about a paycheck and care about whether everybody, you know, likes him and all that, or whether the politicians all agree with him. He's there to preach the word.
Yep.
And I read this week, I heard, and they told me at the Sunday school, it's got to be true, that one of the candidates canceled a rally because there wasn't enough people showed up at it. I wonder how many times these preachers say, well, let's just sing a song and go to the house because we ain't got enough here to preach to. Preacher, if you there's enough to preach to.
Right.
I had Brother Campbell tell me over there at the prison, he said some of the best messages he ever preached, only he heard them. He'd show up at the chapel and there'd be nobody there. He said, you know what? I've got this message together. God gave me this message and I'll preach it to the walls. And preach it to the walls he did. So why didn't nobody come here? He just, no. They didn't come here because they was wicked and didn't come to listen to God's message. I've seen a lot of people come by and say, you know what? I don't understand how people just do away with the things of God going in life. They will every time.
Yeah.
We need to have some staying faith.
Yeah.
When I came down here, Brother Carter told me, he said, that battle ain't won going in there pulling up that driveway in 2 years. He said, you win that battle by keep pulling up in about 10 years. I thought, dear God, they're about to kill me now. I don't know what I'm going to do in 10 years. And the last 10 years I about forgot, so it's been okay. Listen to me. God's good. Where ever He plants you, He can provide for you, and He can keep you with staying faith. I went down to the Lake Cherokee one time. I bought a boat. And the game warden told me something I didn't believe then, but I believed it later. He said the greatest 2 days in a fisherman's life is the day he buys the boat and the day he sells that boat.
Yeah.
I thought he always talking about. He knew what he was talking about. He said, have you got a gas motor on that boat? I said, you see it sitting there? He said, I need you to unplug that gas line from that motor because we don't run gas motors on Lake Cherokee. I thought if I cranked that motor up, I could get it started. It'd be embarrassing because it'd probably fall off the back of it. But I said, you know what? No problem. I took a little golf, you know, little golf things and put the golf balls on little tees, stuck one in there, plugged, fine.
because I wasn't going to use it anyway. And you know that thing stayed like that the whole time I owned that boat. Because when I fish, I'm not out there trying to ski race with everybody. I'm out there trying to barely get along, get up there, be quiet. See, you can't talk and fish.
Yeah.
That don't work.
Uh-huh.
They can hear you.
Yeah.
See, God designed them to hear man's voice. True story. Read it at Bassmaster Magazine. Said that when God designed a fish, it so it could respond to Adam. That's what the Bible said. He had dominion over the fish. How did he have dominion? He could tell them what to do. Different time back then than it is now, by the way. Now they're just scared of you. He said to unplug that thing, to not run off that gas tank. And do you know what God wants you to do to have stay in faith? He wants you to unplug your faith tank and run off His.
Yeah.
He wants you to believe on Him and trust Him that He can put you, place you, empower you, and keep you where He's got you, and that there'll be no problems from there.
Amen.
Let's stand with every head bowed and stay in faith.